Recently, there are two events that impact my life greatly. The first one is my study leave the church granted me to have the privilege of studying in Holy Land, or as the school called the land between. And the second one is I noticed the health of my mother-in-law, Mrs. Wu, deteriorating quite rapidly for the past few weeks. She's a good, godly woman. And both of these two events has something to do with the Old Testament, Jeremiah, that text that we just read today. So I'd like to share some thoughts on that. First, I'd like to draw your attention to the Holy Land. The Holy Land is politically called is the land of Israel. It's not a big place. It's not a place in particularly with lots of resources. It is from Dan to Beersheba, is about maybe 110 miles long. From the Mediterranean Sea to the Dead Sea is about 55, 60 miles. A lot of areas is hilly. Then the south is flat, but it is a lot of desert. In the east, along the coastal plain, is relatively flat. So this is not a very resourceful place. But this place is very unique because it is a place that it is between two, in the Bible time, between two super far powers. On the south, it is Egypt. And in the north, is the Assyrian, Babylonia, in an area called Mesopotamia. As I traveled in Israel, the Holy Land, or this land between, we are reminded that Bible's stories are about real people. People who lived in a real space, the land between, and in real time in history. And the geography and the culture affects their thoughts and behavior. So by traveling there, we can appreciate what they are being faced with, and we can understand more in a deeper way of what are some of their decisions. So gratefully, I have this opportunity to walk in the same ancient path and reflect on the Bible, the record in the Bible about them, and learn about some history and learn some lessons from the faithful characters in the Bible. Let me take a few examples. First of all, it is Abraham. Abraham lived in a datable history of the world. It's around 2000 BC, which is about 4,000 years ago. Folks, 4,000 years are really old. It's really ancient. It is hard for us to imagine what the world like in 4,000 years ago. But Abraham, according to the Bible, he responded to God's call to ask him to leave his own country, his own kinsmen. In other words, to leave in that time of the world, a time of security. You go to a new place, to the promised land, to a land that he doesn't really know where and what will face him in the process. So he traveled along a very predictable route, which is called the Fertile Crescent. If you look at that, it is a crescent. It is, first of all, it is fertile because it is between the two main rivers, the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And then in the Canaan area, in the Holy Land, is the Jordan River. And then in the south, there is the River Nile, where the great ancient civilization of Egypt was located. So this is the Fertile Crescent. And it's called crescent because it looked like a croissant, like a crescent, okay? And Abraham traveled along this crescent route and arrived at the promised land. He passes places like Shechem, somewhere here, Shechem, and then places like Bethel, further down, and then Jerusalem, and then Hebron. You notice this is a route along the mountains. And this is the rich, so-called the central rich route, okay? Today, it is built by modern highways. But in general, it is still along the top of the ridge of the mountain. You know, when you travel, nobody wants to travel along the edge of the mountain. So that means you go up and down, go up and down, go up and down. Everybody travel at the top of the mountain, the ridge where that is, where the watershed on both sides, okay? So this is basically the ancient path that, if you notice all the cities, they are all at the ridge of the mountain range. So we travel along this path that Abraham traveled. And we reflect on his faith, responding to God who goes to a new place. And he faced difficulties and how, and he also mistakes, and how protected him. And that builds his faith until the ultimate test that finally God asked him to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. So this is, we learn about the faith of Abraham. And then we reflect on King David. King David is, Bathsheba, by the way. This is the fortified tale of ancient Bathsheba, which in Abraham's time is probably not fortified, it's not a city yet. But Bathsheba, if you notice, that this is a very barren, you know, it's a southern part. It is in the Negev area, which is called Southland. But in Abraham's time, why it is a good place to settle? Because there is underground spring and it's a well that connect to this water resources. And Abraham actually settled in Bathsheba for a long time. And then next is King David. We jump ahead 1,000 years. Many of you recognize this place, right? What is this city? This is city of Jerusalem, and it's also called the city of David. When we look at David, we think of how Bible described David as a man after the heart of God. King David is not a perfect person, but he is after the heart of God. And looking at David, this ancient patriarch, we learn, reflect in our hearts, is my heart after God? And we went to a few places that David built up his stories. This is the Valley of Elah. This is the place where David fought the famous battle with Goliath. And David, in his life, he had escaped a lot of persecution from King Saul. And one place he went is near Dead Sea, a place that is very dry, very hot. It was so hot around Dead Sea that my cell phone overheated. You cannot record anything. You cannot take pictures. It is so hot. Some people said that one day in Qumran, they record the temperature as 48 degrees Celsius. Yeah. But there are places in the Dead Sea area that have spring, like this is En Gedi. You'll notice that this refreshing spring, David, in these areas, David wrote the famous Psalms that says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. If you go in places like that in the summer, I guarantee you will pant for water. And then you'll be reminded of how often we do not really pant for our God like we pant for water. And then another jump, another 1,000 years. At about 4 BC, Jesus Christ was born. Now this is 2,000 years before us. Still a long time, 2,000 years, is it? This is what I learned from Jesus. This is obedience to his Father. This cliff is near Jerusalem, is near Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. Jesus grew up in a small town called Nazareth. And nearby, within maybe 15 minutes walk, he would go to a cliff that overlooked this plain. This plain is the famous plain that is called Plain of Jezreel. In the Bible, lots of stories happen in the Jezreel plain. Kings marches his army there. Trade merchants have trade routes passing through here. And kings fought on this area to control the agriculture and the trade route. And this is the place that Jesus grew up. And we were wondering if when Jesus was playing around this area, and look at his father's world, and look at all this international caravan, the Romans, the pagans, the Philistines, the Syrians, caravans passes by, and he is wondering, my father is sending me to save this world. Am I going to do it? And then we went to the ancient path of Caesarea. Caesarea is the single achievement. Single-handedly, this city was achieved by this great architect and king called King Herod the Great. Now, King Herod the Great just one day go to the edge of Mediterranean Sea, and he says, I want a city here. And he built the city of Caesarea. Full of entertainment. This is a hippodrome. Just like our Air Canada Centre. Entertainment district. And he built a harbour inside, in there. Today, the foundation of the harbour is still under the Mediterranean Sea. And he built a palace out here. This palace, when you look from far away, it is like a palace that rises out of the Mediterranean Sea. And it is in this place that King Herod built this city that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was imprisoned for 2 years. For sure, Paul was on trial here in this place before Felix, Festus, and King Agrippa at Bernice. This is the place we look at and a person who is zealous for the gospel. He's willing to forsake everything. He said, he's a person who says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, and my life is dedicated to live my life for Christ. From this ancient path, I learned from the ancient giants of faith. Then I think about my grandmother, my mother-in-law, Mrs. Wu. She is classified as a palliative care patient. So that means she is at the end of her last stage in life. She has dedicated her life to love her family, and she was loved by everyone. Grandchildren from USA and Hong Kong are all planning to come to visit her, together with their great-grandchildren. She is a lady who gives me great example of what it means to love her family and to have a simple faith in God. And this is also relating to the passage Jeremiah 6 we read today. Jeremiah 6 was at a time when the people of Jerusalem was facing imminent destruction. They have rejected God, and God's judgment is imminent before them. And here, the prophet Jeremiah gives them counsel in a crisis. In this life and death situation, I wonder how many of you have think about your life, examine your life as in a life and death situation. At some crisis moment, Jeremiah called the people who says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroad and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good path, good way is, and walk in it. And you will find rest for your soul. But you said, we will not walk in it. Jeremiah asked people to examine their life. You are at the end of your life. What you should do is to stand at the crossroad and look. In life, orientation is important. When you are at a crossroad, what do? Do you just go blindly and just pick any road and go? No, you have to find out where you are. What is the direction? Which way is the path? Jeremiah says, stand at the crossroad and look. Today, sometimes we are so busy that we don't look. We don't stand. We have to keep going. We cannot be still and look. We often hear this illustration that when you are leaning on a wall with a ladder, you better make sure you are leaning against the right wall, right? You don't just climb this ladder, the copper ladder or the ladder of life, boom, 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 just climb up and find out at the end, when you reach the top, you have leaned against the wrong wall. Jeremiah says, look back at the crossroad. Look which is the right way and ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good ways are. Before you pick a road, you ask people, ask for the ancient path, a path that is already proven with history, a path that is good. You know what? Asking implies humility. A lot of men don't like to ask. We just like to do things ourselves. Asking seems to be weak. Asking is counter nature. But for a person who's willing to ask, to learn, is a prerequisite for wisdom living. This Jeremiah asks us to seek wisdom. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good ways are. Today, we have too much information and knowledge. We have no shortage of information, but we have a very big shortage of wisdom. The ancient path implies timeless truth. And the timeless truth is in the Bible. It is the prophet is asking us for to get direction from the Bible. The Bible will show us the good way. And then after you know the good way, after you have find truth in the Bible, then you walk in it. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your soul. Knowing the good way is not enough. You have to walk in it. Knowing the truth is not enough. You have to apply it. As the famous saying by Edmund Chan says, truth doesn't change life. Only truth apply change life. Walking, you know the good way, walk in it. It might involve getting out of your comfort zone. But when you know that this is the good way, the principle, the way of the Bible, then you walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find rest of your foes. Sounds familiar, right? Where do you find that? Also, Jesus actually quoted this verse in Matthew 11 and applied it to himself. He was inviting people, for those who are weary and burdened, come to me and I will give you rest. If you walk with me, take the yoke with me, you will find rest for your soul. Jesus is the one that he will give us rest. In life, we have searched a lot of things. We have pursued a lot of things. But how much time and energy have we used to pursue our Lord Jesus? It is not surprising for Jesus to say that you will find rest for your souls, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Let us learn wisdom from the Bible. Read the life of some Bible characters: Abraham, David, Paul. Let us increase our faith and walk in it to follow Jesus. And let us not be like those city of people of Jerusalem in Jeremiah's time. Even though they know the right way, the good way, and they would continue to say, we will not walk in it and face the inevitable destruction. Let us pray. Dear Lord, there are many trials, distractions, and difficulty, and even crisis in our life. But you have given us how to walk the ancient path, how to know the good way. Our Lord Jesus have issued the invitation for us to follow you and to find rest for our soul. Let us heed to this example. Let us learn from the ancient path, and let us take seriously of what is taught in the Bible, and let us walk and apply your truth in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.